Blog Talk Radio.
And that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Pugilist Corner. Got a great show in store for everyone tonight. We're going to be introducing our first guest, Miss Casey Morgan. She's the Asian Pacific WBO flyweight champion. Also, we're going to be talking to Coach Gary Russell and his son a little later in the podcast, and there'll be a big announcement about 6:45, 6:50. We'll be talking. Me and Kay and I will be making a big announcement. But right now, let's talk to our guest, Miss Casey Morgan. Casey, how are you doing this evening?
Miss Glass, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let me also introduce our two-time IBF middleweight champion, Mr. K-9 Bundridge. K-9, say hello.
Hey, Casey, how you doing? You okay?
Blessed. How are you? Honored to be on the show with you.
Oh, man. Yes, that's blessed. I love that. She says she's blessed. That's right.
Well, Casey, let's start off by talking a little bit about how you got into fighting. I was looking back at some of your pictures and whatnot. We see you had the looks and the charisma of being a model. You're also able to promote your own products. Tell me, how did you get into boxing?
I always describe my transition into boxing as, you know, God giving me light at a dark hour. I had a pretty negative upbringing. You know, I created a pretty negative lifestyle, and I was in definite need of another direction in life. So I had gotten another chance at life, and about a couple years later, boxing came into my path and, you know, saved me in countless ways.
Now, did you have any amateur career at all, or did you have a natural progression from martial arts background, maybe?
No, fighting is pretty big in my culture, you know, in Hawaii. That was kind of always a part of my life. So when I transitioned into boxing, you know, I knew I was in need of an outlet. And I was never a team player. You know, I would try to play team sports. I'd get into fights with people on my team and the other team. And, I couldn't stand that the game depended on, you know, how well I got along with other people. So I think I gravitated towards boxing because it's a team effort, but still I'm solely responsible for the outcome. You know, so the benefits, you know, it's infinite for what boxing continues to teach and give me.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about your nickname here, the Lady of Wine and Punch.
I like that.
Thank you. It's kind of an honor that no names have really stuck throughout my career, and the Hawaiian Punch. It started with Andy Gannigan in Hawaii, and then it was Jesus Salud, and then Brian Valoria. So I was kind of coined that name when I started fighting in Asia. And it's an honor that, you know, I kind of had Jesus Salud's blessing with it, you know, with the obvious with Lady in the beginning of it. So that's kind of an honor.
Now, you made your debut in 2014.
Correct.
Usually when we talk about men starting, you know, their professional career at a late age, and we talk about, you know, how it's usually how people talk about their experience or their lack of, but you seem to have a different attitude. Like you say, I mean, you know, even at that particular age where, you know, we see women in your sport starting off, you know, when they're preteens even. But what made you decide to turn professional at such a late stage in your life, other than, you know, like you said, you were having some personal demons of your own?
The first experience, you know, the first experience I had boxing, I fell head over heels in love with it. It instantly became an obsession. And, you know, from the gate, you know, just right off the bat, I wanted to become a professional world champion. You know, people thought I was crazy, and I anything would interfere with my training, gone. You know, job interfered, gone. Right? Like anything would interfere, gone. And I knew that I would always get to the stage. I just couldn't tell you when and in what manner, you know what I mean? So I've been fortunate to, I lacked a coach. So I've been fortunate to be able to have gotten the amount of experience I needed and the amateurs. You know, I trained myself for about 7 years. I go to national tournaments, international tournaments by myself. I'd find random coaches, you know, there, like, hi, you look like a good person. Would you mind pretending to be my coach? You know, I'll wrap my own hands. And through that, you know, I've been able to make some priceless bonds and pick up as much as I've been able to from watching boxing, from being around different, you know, styles and people in boxing. So I credit all of that to the amateurs.
Wow. Yeah, you know, she kind of remind me of myself, because it's like I trained my own self. I did everything I had to do to become a world champion. You remind me a whole lot of myself. Started boxing late and everything.
And it's surreal. Yeah, like I've looked up to it. It's kind of surreal, like, speaking with you on the same interview, because I've looked up to you, you know, for a long time. Like, I remember The Contender, when that came out, I can't tell you how many times I rewatched all those episodes. So you're a very big inspiration to me as well. And I think, you know, the approach I had is different, right? Like, instead of looking for the right coach, right, I believe that God would put the right coach in my path, and I'm going to be ready when they get there. You know, so I grind, right? I was always on the grind. I even still, I watch hours and hours and hours of boxing, and, you know, I would borrow the confidence of certain fighters, and I take that into practice with me each day, you know? So, so you're one of the people that I kind of credit. That I credit that to, you know, all the experience and stuff. So it is really cool to talk to you.
Oh, it made me feel good. It must still be my birthday. That's good. Yeah. Hey, look, that made me feel good, though. Absolutely. Yep. So, yeah, I'm happy to be talking to you, too, though, because, you know what I mean, because at the same time, you know, women boxing is just, you know, it's taking off. And I'm definitely going to be rooting for you. I'm going to be rooting for you.
Thank you.
Still don't have a coach? Are you welcome.
As of maybe one, two, it's been two fights in with my recent coach, Nonito Donaire Sr., and it's the perfect fit. So, like, now, you know, like, now we're ready to go do something in boxing, and I'm really excited that I couldn't have crossed paths with a better coach for me.
Okay. How many fights you done had? How many pro fights you done had?
So I had my 10th about a month ago, and that's my second fight under my new coach.
Okay. Okay. And what's your weight class?
112.
112? Okay. 112. So you just throw a lot of punches, a whole lot of punches.
Yeah. Yeah, the little ones. Yeah. We gotta come out blazing.
Exactly. No, but you might have an egg, though. You don't be showing them that egg, because, you know, you got some small people like Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao was small, but you see, start knocking everybody out.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I think Ricardo Lopez is one of my favorite fighters. And a lot of people don't know about him because, you know, he was 108 pounds, right? 105, 108. And especially a couple generations ago, nobody really cared about that weight class. So it's exciting to see, like, little people come to light, or the lighter weight classes, you know, kind of getting some love and some spotlight. And like you said, women's boxing in our country is kind of coming to light, and it's exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
So how about you, Champ? I'm sorry, go ahead.
So where do you train out of now? And, well, you've already mentioned Nonito Donaire Sr. as your coach. Mm-hmm. Are you back training on the main line here in San Francisco? Or?
Oh, no, we do all our training at Snack System at the private gym. That Victor Conti recently opened for the professional athletes. So the solitude there, it's priceless. And just being able to be in camp alongside, you know, like really big names that I've seen. Recently we had Vonis Martirosyan, you know, who got the 3-week notice for the Triple G fight. We're excited for his performance this weekend. You know, young and up and coming rising star Devin Haney. You know, we got a lot of really cool names that I've been able to meet. You know, we had Danny Jacobs, Demetrius Andrade. So it's surreal to just be around, you know, like just people like, man, I watched all your fights on TV, you know, and here you are. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, we just had Demetrius on the show. But I see you have a few questions for the champ here. So, I'll let you get those off.
I was just gonna say, like, man, what's next for you? I'm excited to hear about your future fights and what's on the horizon for you as well.
Okay, so you the host now, so you gonna ask me some questions? I like that. she's trying to take my job already. it's all good. Hey, women taking over boxing too now, so hey, it's all good. Right. I don't mind sharing a plate, but we all gotta eat, right? Yeah. No, I'm most likely going right. I'm looking forward to fighting probably June 22nd on that card with Clarissa Shields here in Detroit. If, you know, we can get the right opponent. Yeah, we can get the right opponent. Then I'm going to fight again July the 26th in Memphis.
That's exciting, champ. That's real exciting. And even to be honest, Clarissa Shields, like, that girl's on fire.
Yeah, she is. She is on fire. Yeah, she is on fire. Hey, that's a good thing, you know. I don't mind, you know what I mean? I don't mind, hey, opening it up for her, you know what I mean? I don't mind opening it up for you. If the money is right, man, I will go fight in the backyard. Just put a ring up, make sure it's a referee so there'll be no street stuff going on. And cut that check. All right.
Yeah.
But I'm still... Right, but no, I'm still fighting, I'm still training. You know, I got a son that's boxing now too, so I'm managing fighters, I'm training fighters, I'm fighting. I got a gym I'm kindly, you know, I'm opening up, you know what I mean, where I'm actually training at this gym with this other young man. So this is a lot of stuff I'm doing, though. Then, you know, I'm partnering with my man James right now. You see me on the phone together, you know, doing his radio show. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, ain't no stopping.
Yeah, all God. That's all glory to God.
Mm-hmm. All glory to God. That's right.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I even got you know, some merchandise that I'm finna put out here, because, you know, I got my own boxing shoe and boxing gloves and hand wraps and, you know, mouthpieces.
Yeah, that's
so, you know,
up.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
It's
trying
important,
to get it off.
Like, what is active boxing, you know? So I think it's important to
absolutely
shine light, right, and inspire other up-and-coming fighters. Like, okay, you got your dreams ahead of you, but what's after? Or what if it's taken away from you, right? Like, so you got to. You got to
have
your own clothing line and, right, and all this investment.
That's right. You got to brand yourself. We can't let Floyd get all the money. We the money team too, right?
Yeah, we're trying. We need, we gotta pay rent.
Casey, you mentioned marketing and merchandising and all that. Do you have your own line or your own merchandising?
Right now, no. But it's like after winning this title, now the focus is on, now we're in the final 25%. So now I get to kind of gear my focus as well on, prepping for the chapter after boxing and stuff. So we'll definitely start looking into that.
Right. Hey, Casey, do you know the other Casey that get one of me tomorrow? So, ooh, yeah.
Which one?
Jodeci, Casey.
Oh, that's right.
Jodeci.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's on my playlist. I know that's on my running playlist.
That's right. You go come in the ring, go off from Casey. They were like, what in the world? Why is she coming in off of that? Like, y'all don't know I'm Casey. She doesn't know that. Ooh, yeah,
no, that's the
right.
kind of stuff you gotta come. That's what you gotta walk out to, like you're calling.
Right. That's true. Hey, but no, as long as you win, you ain't gotta come out to nothing if you don't want to. You come out to whatever you want to.
You're right.
You
you're
just
right.
keep winning. Yeah.
Did you happen to see Katie Taylor's fight this weekend?
I missed it. I'm bummed I missed it, but I got to see some highlights. And, just like Clarissa Shields, it's exciting to see, more women coming to light. And that girl's on fire, too. And such a gracious champion, such a, humble and gracious champion. And, how could you not want to support someone like that, right, where just a wonderful person. She's gracious before and after the fight. And I think she's a definition of a champion.
Right. Hey, Casey, how do you feel about actually women fighting 2 minute rounds versus 3 minute rounds? I mean, sometimes people compare the men to the women, but if you're gonna do that, then the women got to go three rounds.
I prefer 3 minute. I prefer 3 minute rounds because 2 minutes it's a sprint. It's like you got no thing. Like you gotta go. You know what I mean? Whereas into 3 minutes, you can kind of establish, right? You can establish your jab and your range a little more, whereas I think 4 to 6 round fights are the worst because it's like first round's over. You got 2 more minutes to work. So it's like you got to win every round decisively. And, I'm hoping that'll change eventually because I prefer 3 minute rounds. You can establish your range, I think it might be a lot more entertaining to watch. Because two minutes, like I said, that's less work time. It's like you got to go. Like maybe you do got a pretty style. Maybe you could, right, like not smother your work or something. But it's like, no, 2 minutes, this girl got to go.
They make it into a scrap because I actually feel 2 minute rounds are harder than 3 minute rounds because you only get 30 more seconds. Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah. And it's like it's a sprint. It's like a sprint. I remember I have a teammate that fought. He's a professional boxer. He fought in the BKB. They did the bare knuckle boxing thing once. And it was pretty much, your boxing gloves in an octagon or like in a circle. And it's 2 minute rounds. So at first, he thought, oh, 2 minute rounds, yes. So he kind of bullshitted a little bit in camp. So, during and after the fight, even his post fight interview, he could barely catch his breath. He was like, oh, thank God for this. Thank God for that. Oh, God. He couldn't even speak. And he said it was the complete opposite. It's like 2 minutes was worse because it was a sprint. You couldn't really think. You just have to go in there and go, like, blaze them.
Yeah, those BKB fights are pretty interesting. Like you say, a total different format. Casey, as a woman, how excited are you to see all of these female boxers now on major cards, and most of them are fighting 8 to 10 round, 3 minute round fights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm extremely excited, and like I said, it's an exciting time to be a part of this because, it's just like women have there's countless amounts of women who've kind of paved the way for us to get where we're at now. And to see it slowly kind of come to light, like all these big promotions, especially Top Rank, you know, who never worked with women, you know, Golden Boy, they're signing, you know, here come the Olympians, they're signing, you know, like all these female fighters, and it's exciting seeing that kind of come to light. You know, in every other country, it's like you when I fought in Asia, when I fought in Mexico, it's like it's always been a part of their culture. So they praise their female fighters just as much as they praise the men, right? And so it's a nice kind of breath of fresh air to get over there. But in our country, it's not there yet, but it's getting there. So it's exciting to see us kind of get up to speed with that and introduce it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the military. You know, we've been saying the same thing for years. But, you know, it's just, I think, man's natural nature, not saying, you know, one way or another, you know, don't want to cross that feminist line. But I mean, I think it went from, you know, the idea of American men think of their women in a different kind of connotation of not necessarily being beside them in battle, but more or less someone to come home to and ease your pain and things like that. Whereas in other cultures, it's kind of more of a 50-50 proposition. And, you know, we might be a little bit behind in those times.
Yeah.
But talking, you know, more along the lines of what's happening in your sport, you did win a championship, the WBO flyweight championship, as I mentioned. So what does that actually mean for you and in your career and possible future opponent?
Right now, it's kind of surreal. Like we went from having no options to now we got options. I recently signed with Greg Hanley of Prince Ranch Boxing, and it's exciting to kind of have options to discuss. So moving forward, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll see what direction is the right one to take, and it's kind of emotional, you know. We're here, you know. I visualize this chapter for over a decade. So
yeah,
cool to be here.
That's good. One thing, you know, it's been a lot of complaints is just the pay. I mean, you know, eventually, you know, I hope that, you know what I'm saying, like real quick that they start giving y'all the money that y'all deserve, because, you know, a woman is putting the work in, just like a man putting the work in. A man getting that bread, the woman should get that bread. Because I hate to see a female that can fight real good, but to make a better living, she has to go and become an MMA fighter and do some MMA. Like, you got a couple of females that's doing that, fighting MMA because they pay more.
Yeah.
But then they still box at the same time.
Yeah, and it's sad. And I think if we continue to focus on all the progress and where we're about to be, you know, we'll continue to see more strides of, you know, like of that. But it's like I can't put enough emphasis on marketability. That's why it's so important to understand the power of, you know, marketing yourself on social media. Like, who are you and what do you stand for and why should, and, you know, like, and give people an idea of, you know, like, what's inspiring you. Share. I mean, I was grinding on social media since MySpace was around. And, you know, like I said, in the beginning, people thought I was crazy, but where I am, because I knew I'd get to this part where I am today. I knew that.
Right.
To be able to eat, it's going to be off of endorsements and sponsorships. It's definitely not going to be, you know, from fighting. So that's kind of the harsh reality of this. And that's why I express to people, like, you know, if this is something you want to do, you have to make sure there's a greater purpose or a deeper purpose, because this isn't something you're going to get rich off of, you know, at least not anytime soon. But like I said, we have the pioneers, like we have like Clarissa Shields, we have Katie Taylor, we have Michaela Mayer coming to light. We have all these women kind of, you know, introducing that, you know, into our country. And, you know, kind
of. And
getting,
we got KC.
Thank you for that. So,
that's right, champ.
I'm excited. I think there's a lot of progress coming in. You're right. It's just the harsh reality of being. In any journey to a great destination, there's going to be hardship and struggle and obstacles. But, you know, like you said, there has to be a deeper purpose. Because, you know, like I wouldn't wish boxing on nobody, right? Like I see kids come into the gym and I'm like, please, God, you know, like let him find an interest in team sports or something, right?
That's right. That's right. Because everybody ain't going to be champ. Everybody ain't going to be champ. Everybody ain't going to make a living. I mean, some of us that's special like yourself going to become champion. I think, you know, you know, with God making a woman and man and making a woman as a helpmeet, I think that the woman and a man can get together, even in a boxing sport, to come up with something that, you know, that gets the young ladies the more recognition, that helps the man, you know, that we actually come with a union. I think women can do a whole lot of just do in a sport of boxing, not just only fighting, but if the women get together, y'all can probably come up with a union.
Oh, I agree. Well, I agree 100%.
Remember K-9, we had Fran Chan and her husband, you know, another, this was a husband and wife team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That even sparred together, which I was kind of interesting.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your team, your trainer, your manager, especially, you know, now that you're a champion, like you said, now you've signed with a promoter, I guess, just tell us what all that is, you know, now, you know, having to go through the process of having to choose and making sure you choose the right team, you know, because now you're a champion going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I credit everything to God. I feel that, I believe that we're all meant to, the people who, like, people with the same energy as you, the same, like, we kind of speak the same language, so to speak. We all gravitate point, and I believe that I do have the best team for me right now. You know, I give all the credit in the world to being a part of SNAC and being able to call Victor Conti more than my sponsor. Like, he's like my, he's my mentor, you know, he empowers each of us mentally, physically, spiritually. He gives us, you know, the access to the best training possible, recovery, all of it. And, you know, through that, like there was no one, and now I have a team. You know, for me, for a while it was just myself and Snack, and now I have a coach. Now I recently have I have an awesome manager, and now I have a team. So it's just it's emotional. It's just kind of, you know, and now this is when the real work begins. Like, now the hard work begins. It's just like the last maybe like 12 years up until now, you know, the last 12 years was kind of the price I had to pay to get to this chapter. And now I'm ready to do something.
Well, hey, it was really glad taking a little bit of your time this evening. I know you're on a very tight schedule, but Tampa, any last words of encouragement?
Yes. Hey, look, you know, remember, words are powerful, you know, because I heard you say, well, you know, it's not like we're going to get rich off this, and don't say that. You know, you can't get rich off this,
God,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, all
you're
things
right.
are
right.
Right. So, yeah, so you got to speak it in existence. You believed and had faith that you was going to be champion. Didn't nothing stop you. Even when you went out of town with no coach, you said, hey, I just have somebody work with in my corner, but I'm going to go out here and I'm going to make it happen. And you're the champ of the world today. So, you know, just keep having faith and keep believing and keep giving it to God like you've been doing, and you're going to be just fine.
Thank you for that. You don't know how much that means to me. Thank you for that. I appreciate you. And like I said, you've inspired me for a minute. So thank you for that. I'm excited to continue to support and watch your career. So thank you for that. And you're right. Thoughts do become things. So you're right. anything is possible.
Absolutely. You just got to work extra harder. You know what I mean? Just don't, you know, don't stop working. Don't stop working. Get people behind you. Get more people involved, more females involved with boxing, and just keep reaching out to people. You just never know who you might run into. That could be that key that you're looking for to open up more doors for you.
You're right. Thank you so much, Tanner. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Casey, why don't you tell our audience where they can find you on social media and any final thoughts you have for our audience tonight?
Oh, I'm on Instagram, hi, H-I-I. I thought it was funny because I'm from Hawaii. Hi, _Casey_Morton on Instagram. I'm a lot more active on that than Twitter and Facebook. And I want to give all my deepest aloha and gratitude, you know, to everybody. And just thank you for your support.
Well, thank you. And we look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You,
yep, I like her. That's a champ. That's a real champ.
Thank both of you. Thank both of you guys.
Yep.
Have a blessed night.
Yep.
Thank you for your time.
Yes,
thank you
for spending time with us.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Ooh, yeah. All right, Casey. Yes, indeed. Yeah, she made my night. She would say all these good things and I helped inspire her, and she's the champ of the world now. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah. You know, it's like I said, you know, she, those that want to look up her biography, I'm not going to put her age out there. She can, you know, look it up, because if you look at her, she looks like she's a 23-year-old young lady, you know, maybe just even coming off of her first prom, you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of other roads she could have went down rather than punching people in the face and vice versa.
Right. She can inspire a whole bunch of young ladies, you know. It just seemed like talking to her and talking to the, you know, the young ladies that we've been had on the show, it seemed like women are more humble than men, maybe because they got it harder. I don't know. It's just they talk different, they sound different. I mean, you know, it's good. It's good to hear. It's good to see, because you know you got a lot of these young fools out here. I'm talking about the male version of boxing. They just all over the place. They making it rain. They throwing money down the toilet and all kind of stuff. But you have young ladies, you know what I mean, like herself, who really appreciates the sport. And you know, I kept hearing her say things about God and. I mean, it's just beautiful, and I'm happy that they're actually boxing and fighting, because maybe they're, you know, the young men, or, you know what I'm saying, take notes from the women when it comes to the humble part. And maybe the women will start getting some of the money that the men are getting. I mean, one shoe deserves another.
Well, I mean, you know, all that's good to say, K-9, but, you know, we are still a male-dominated culture.
Absolutely.
You know, we want to see our men, our women in Victoria's Secret commercials and Maybelline commercials. You know.
Right.
we don't want to see them, you know, coming out of the ring all bloody and, you know, I mean, you know. But, you know, as I said, you know, in a lot of other cultures, most of the cultures, including European cultures, you know, the men fight alongside the women. You know, if you're an Israeli woman, you can, you know, strap on your boots and let's go, baby. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Right.
Grab that AK, you know.
Kind of like 300. You count like 300, right?
Yeah. You know, but here, I mean, you know, you even though you think of it and you see it, I mean, you know, every day women in the military and so forth and boxing, it still serves our male ego to think that there these humble and weak females that we need, that need our protection. But as we know throughout the animal kingdom, and especially in your Bible, the female is the most deadliest species. So, don't get it twisted. You know.
Hey, look, it's one scripture though talks about that virtuous woman. She gets out, she goes out there, she makes it happen. You know what I'm saying? She take care of the bills and everything. She ain't no joke. So I say all the female boxers are the virtuous women in the Bible. They go out there and they make it happen. But one thing she was saying too, though, she said it makes sense, though. She said, you know, them endorsement deals, that you can do that. You can make all your money can be in endorsement deals. You go out there and just keep winning your fights, but then if you got that look, I mean, you know, you can make that money.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, no doubt. Canine, let's talk a little bit about some of the action this weekend, man. Let's see. Let's start right there on the top with Danny Jacobs, man. Danny, handled his business and then immediately called out Jamal Charlo.
Yeah. Hey, I know it was a triple header, wasn't it? It was a triple header with what, ESPN, it was PBC, and it was HBO.
Yes, sir. And good fights on all.
Absolutely.
We'll talk a little bit about Danny, and then I want to talk about Anthony Durrell, because, you know, Anthony announced that this was going to be his last year of fighting, so... You know, let's talk about Danny first, and then talk about Anthony's possible retirement.
Wow. So Danny Jacobs. I mean, how did you feel he looked? I mean, he was in there with a guy. He was. I think he was a junior middleweight moving up. But the guy is rugged though. The guy could fight. The guy actually beat. He actually beat the guy who Charlo just fought, which was Sutino.
Right. Right.
So his name was Saluski. Hey, Saluski didn't do bad, man. I mean, I feel like his stock done went up because he went out there and he fought Jacobs pretty good. But if you've been watching the internet, if you've been on the internet, you know, you heard what Sanchez said. He said everybody that Triple G fights, you know, he takes something out of them. So now he's trying to say the reason why Daniel Jacobs didn't look as good as we thought he would look is because he fought Triple G, and Triple G then took some out of him. But I believe that Daniel Jacobs, though, didn't look at it as he was fighting Triple G, or he wasn't in there with Charlo, or maybe he would have stepped up the gas in training camp. So I feel like he may have took his feet off the pedal a little bit and just was in cruise control. At the same time, it really was good that he didn't look as good, because now he can get those certain fights. If he went out there and just blasted that boy, we probably wouldn't see the Charlo fight his next fight.
Well, Saluki doesn't get blasted. I mean, you know, he was an undefeated fighter. No, I think he had one defeat on his record. But Saluki, you know, I mean, he had a great chin. He had a good right hand. I'm sure Danny can attest to that. he actually had a good game plan. I think the only thing that he really lacked.
Absolutely.
And that is, you know, that was my only knock on Danny. He got hit too much.
Yeah. But, you know, like I was saying, though, was Danny Jacobs knew who he was fighting. He knew that, you know, that Saluki was coming up in weight. And since he was coming up in weight, he knew the guy didn't have power or wasn't going to be strong enough to deal with his power. So it was easy for him to stay right there. And if you notice, Daniel Jacobs turned southpaw. And when a guy turns southpaw and they're not southpaw, a lot of times they're comfortable. I kept hearing the commentators on HBO talking about, we don't know why he's doing that. And the reason why he was doing it was because he was comfortable. I mean, Daniel Jacobs was having fun in there. I mean, he was getting hit. He wasn't getting hit because he don't have defense. It's because he was willing to take chances because he was in there with someone he knew he could outpunch who didn't have the power.
Now, one of the commentators at one point said he had the fight at 5 rounds to 4.
Right.
Well, we all looking at the same fight he was looking at, but when you look back at it, I mean, you know, the scores might have been a little closer than what, you know, we thought they should have been. But 5 rounds to 4 at the end of 9?
Right, right. You know, man, everybody, I don't know, nowadays it seems like everybody is watching a whole different fight. I don't know if the judges are daydreaming. I mean, some of the fans don't know nothing about boxing. They just watch boxing. They hear somebody say jab, and a guy see me on the street should be like, "Hey, man, you should have jabbed more your last fight." Like, man, who told you that? It's Roy Jones. That's all they listen to is what the commentators say. I mean, you know, you got to watch the fight for what it is. I mean, and at the end of the day, a lot of times fights are being called, like announcers have an interest in whoever the A side is. Like when Top Rank is on ESPN, guess what? They hire all their former fighters or someone that's under their camp. Same thing with PBC. When you see some PBC fights, you're going to have someone commentating that's a PBC fighter. So I don't think he's going to go against the grain. So a lot of times it's like, you know, you got to really know boxing to be able to know how the fight is being called, if it was a fair fight or not. I mean, I have guys on Twitter that's arguing me to death, don't know nothing about boxing, don't try to argue with me, and I don't won 2 world titles, and I know what I'm talking about. So, I mean, it's just different strokes for different folks. But, I mean, you know, Daniel Jacobs won that fight clearly. I mean, even if it's by 1 round or 2 rounds, and, you know, I mean, how did you see the fight? Did you see it close like that or what?
No, I actually had it the same way Harold Letterman had it, the exact same score, 116-111.
Okay,
But one thing, you know, that I thought was very comforting, and I usually find it that way because I usually find that there's a difference between how fighters call the fight. And that's regardless of their affiliation and how the commentators call the fight. Because a lot of times I'll turn the sound off, you know, and of course, you know, you still got the commentary running on the bottom of the screen, you know, and closed caption. But sometimes, like I said, I find fighters to be very fair. In fact, Roy Jones even called attention, how are you guys saying that you're not scoring the fight, but you're scoring the fight? You know,
right.
how come you're not commentating instead of trying to score the fight? I think, if you're a commentator, commentate. If you're a judge, you're supposed to judge the fight. If you're a referee, I mean, you know, what if the referee went over in the corner, you know, in the middle of the fight and asked the commentator, "Well, hey man, who you got here?" You know, and then decided he was going to go back and see what was, you know, happening with the fighters. You know what I mean? You know, everybody has a specific job, let everybody do their job. And, you know, maybe that would help put boxing in a better light with the casual fan. Because you have all these outrageous scores by judges, you know, and the fan is saying, "What the, you know?" I mean,
right. I think you know what they should do. They should do what they done did before a few times: open judges where you can actually see who won a round. Have it where the fans can see who's winning and the fighters can see who's winning. I mean, they don't get no better than that. Round one, you would know if you up or not. I could just look up at the score and say, "Oh man, I done lost. I got to win these last 3 rounds. Well, I got to knock them out." Because a lot of times, you know, your trainer will tell you some stuff that ain't even true. Man, you know you need a knockout. You know you need a knockout. You don't know whether the judges got it. You know what I mean? You don't know how they're scoring it. I want to know the truth. You need to know the truth. Everybody in an arena need to know the truth. Because that's another thing, another reason why some of the fans leave boxing, because some fighters be getting robbed. They go out there, and then you hear the crowd going, boom, they boom like I don't know what. Next thing you know, a fighter done jumped off just because, you know, people be betting. And, I mean, I believe that, you know, fair is fair, you know, and unfair is unfair, and they should have open judging.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Let's talk about Mr. Magdaleno and Isaac Dogby.
Dogbo?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, you know, I love the last name. What do you think they say dog? You know, they call me K-9. I was happy to see him win, though, man. You know, him and his crew, they was pumped up, man. I don't know what they were screaming and what they were saying. You know, they got their own little thing, man. But I was happy for him, man. I was happy for him. Even the great Azuma Nelson was pleased. I saw he was happy as I don't know what to, saying this guy's the real deal. And he went out there and it was an upset. I was supposed to be an upset. I didn't look at it as an upset because it was like he was game and he was in a fight from the get-go.
Well, he had said that, I mean, it was, you know, they had a pretty heated pre-fight and, you know, Dogbo actually, you know, had some very harsh things to say about Magdaleno and how he was going to take his title and so forth and, you know, so on. Surprisingly, he had nothing to be ashamed of because it came through. I got to ask, K-9, 373 days off.
Yeah.
Regardless of your skills or how much you've been training, how much you've been sparring, to the fourth round, well, first of all, I think when Dogby got off the canvas, mentally, that started Jesse's downfall.
Yeah.
In the fourth round, when Dogby started putting the pressure on and showing that, you know, I'm just as strong as you are, Jesse started to wither. Now, he didn't, his combinations weren't as smooth. The jab, you know, that the pop-pop jab that Jesse had wasn't there after about round three, and he had no way to keep Don Bay off of it. How much of that should we consider to the layover? And not taken away from Dogbay's victory, but, you know, when you got a pressure fighter on your ass for the whole 3 minutes after you'd have knocked him down, how much did the psychological pressure take over?
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, if you hit a man in the face, man, and he look at you and start barking and start hitting you back, man, that take a lot out of you. And then, like you say, he ain't fought in a whole year. I mean, nothing replaces fight. You can spar all day long, but ain't nothing like an actual fight. Because when you spar, you got on 16-ounce gloves. And when you fighting, you got on 8 ounces or 10 ounces. If you're a pro fighter, you have no headgear. When you're in the gym, I don't care if you're pro or amateur, you're going to wear headgear. And the crowd is totally different when you at the gym than when you at your actual fight. So nothing takes place from an actual fight. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I lost my title. You know, fighting once a year, and the reason why I lost fighting once a year is no good. I mean, it's not going to help you. Muscle memory is not going to be there. It's just not going to be there. I mean, certain fighters can get away with that, but the fighters that get away with it are the fighters that able to you know, pick and choose because they got that name, they got that bag behind them, they got that machine behind them. That promotion, and, you know, some Al Heyman, you know what I mean, and they a top dog. So those kind of guys can get away with that. But someone that has to go out there and fight the number one contender, that's how come being a champion is a great thing, don't get me wrong. But if you ain't fighting and you got to fight the number one guy, I mean, and he's hungry and you get a little older and you can't keep getting away with that. You know, when I fought Charlo and I lost my fight to Charlo, you know, you just get a hungry, call yourself a lion, you know, a lions are us, and I ain't fought in a year, you know, it's going to come back to haunt you. And then you're going to end up losing your title. So that's very important to be staying active. let me see someone that, I mean, that is very active. It was just on the tip of my tongue, very active. Triple G, there you go. Triple G stays active. You know, that man stays sharp because he's fighting 3 times a year. I don't know a champion that's more active than him. He fights 3-4 times a year. And that's why he probably was getting all the knockouts. You know, he was knocking it. Well, he like, what, 31, 32 and 0 with 30 knockouts? Because he's sharp. He's fighting.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, he is able to pick and choose even then. But, you know, training up in Big Bear constantly, always having the best of sparring. You know, and keeping active in the ring. So, yeah, I think all of that is an advantage. But now we just seen Charlo in, a few months ago. And you saw Danny last night.
Yeah.
And also remember Danny's fight makes him the mandatory for Triple G.
Yeah.
So, which would you rather see, a rematch with Triple G or a fight between him and Charlo for the first time?
And you know what? I think on paper, the better fight is going to be Charlo and Daniel Jacobs. But I mean, you know, if I want a belt, you know what I mean, I want a belt or I want the most money. So I'm quite sure Daniel Jacobs and them gonna go for the best for the most money. I don't know if I don't know. Al Heyman, he's calling the shots, like he's the actual manager. The promoter is Eddie Hearn, who's promoting Daniel Jacobs. But at the end of the day, if them guys really want to fight each other, they can actually generate enough money to fight each other because Charlo, a young fighter who's a former champion, and he didn't lose the title. He went up in weight, and he vacated the belt. And then they got a little animosity. That fight, you know what I mean? I would let that fight marinate. I think it'd be bigger if Daniel Jacobs went for Triple G. And he went and beat Triple G and won a belt. And Charlo went and fought someone else, you know what I mean? And went and fought someone else and won a belt. If Charlo could go fight Saunders and take Saunders' belt, and Daniel Jacobs could go fight Triple G and take his belt, that fight would be worth some money, some real serious money.
I'm kind of glad you brought up Billy Joe Saunders because Billy Joe Saunders said that that Canelo is full of you-know-what and he should be banned from boxing for life. You think Billy Joe is possibly a little harsh on Canelo? Or do you think, he's setting up publicity where, you know, when him and Canelo meet, the stage is already set?
I feel like a lot of guys are going to have some things to say about Canelo because Canelo is a cash cow. He might be, I mean, other than, Anthony Joshua, he probably makes the most money when he fights. And all his fights are on pay-per-view. Since Floyd has retired, Canelo was the pay-per-view king. So he can fight who he want to fight. So a lot of people are going to have something bad to say about him, whether he get caught with fails a drug test and get caught or not. They're going to say something bad about him because he don't have to fight this guy or that guy. He can fight whoever he want to. So, of course, you got guys like me, for instance. I was mad as I don't know what that we never fought because, he was messing with my payday. You know what I'm saying? And so the next person is going to be mad, too, because he's messing with his payday, too. And I mean, but wrong is wrong and right is right. And if he actually went out there and really used enhancing drugs to try to get a fair edge, then he wrong for that. But he said he ate some tank meat. You know what I mean? And what if he did? I mean, I really can't prove it. You know what I mean? But Canelo, he's undefeated. Well, no, sorry about that. Canelo did lose to Mayweather. Canelo is a beast, though, and I respect him. I mean, you know, we all make mistakes. Like I said, I don't know what he did. I mean, he ain't had no plasters. He ain't had no plasters on like Margarito, and Margarito was able to continue to fight. I don't even know if Margarito even got banned. Did he get a long suspension? Did he get fined?
Well, supposedly he got both, but I mean. There's a lot to the Canelo saga that we're not going to hear much about.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he trains here in San Diego, and it would seem very unusual to me, knowing that I live in the United States and there's, I don't know how many five-star restaurants here in San Diego, that I would be ordering my steaks from Mexico. But that's just me. You know, I mean, maybe he just wanted that hometown flavor. I don't know. I mean, you know.
Yeah. right.
Yeah. but.
I mean, right.
But anyway, yeah. Before we get Coach Russell and the family on the show, like to make an announcement about our partnership here on Tuesday night. We here at the Pugilist Corner are going to be teaming up with K9 Promotions. And when K9 decides what the new title of the show is going to be, it's going to be presented here every Tuesday by the Pugilist Corner. So, K9, you want to kind of chime in a little bit here. You know, we've known each other ever since you were the IBF champ the first time down here in Indio. Emmanuel Sanders was still alive, and I believe at that particular time you were trained by Sugar Hill, so We have a little history here, so K9, you know, and not only that, I believe you were on one of my first shows. Kind of came on and took over a little bit, but you were the champ, so you know. We've all gotten a little bit older, a little bit wiser. Champ, what do you think has been your biggest success or life lesson that you've gained during the time that we've been known each other and been affiliated with each other?
Okay, let me first clear up the last name. I know you made a mistake. You told us Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel Stewart, I'm sorry.
You go back and listen to that. You're going to be like, yes, Emmanuel Sanders. Like, hold on. That's Barry Sanders' brother. but real talk, though, on a serious note, though, man, I've enjoyed, you know, the relationship that me and you done had, man, talking on the show, man, from day one. I knew that the show was going to be huge. I mean, I remember speaking into an existence. I said, man, this show going to be big. I just felt it, you know what I mean? And next thing you know, man, we had everybody on the show, like Roy Jones, all kind of people, man, you know what I mean? I'm just using examples, from Mike Tyson and Mayweather, to Barry Gordon, you know what I'm saying, Michael Jackson. The show just was like, you couldn't beat it. Like, you know, you couldn't beat it, man. And I'm just happy to be, you know, partnership with you, man. And, you know what I'm saying, to move forward and talk about this great sport of boxing that, you know, fans of the world to get a chance to, you know what I'm saying, hear us talk about boxing on a whole other level. The inside and the outside of the boxing game, because there's a lot of stuff that go on that people don't even know that go on in boxing, like, you know what I mean, in the locker room, the contracts, you know what I'm saying? You got some promoters give you contracts that be thicker than the Bible, you know what I mean? It's just a lot of stuff be going on, and we here to expose it and put it out here and, you know, and give you another avenue to be able to, you know, be a part of boxing. And I'm happy about that. I'm excited.
I'm blushing.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Appreciate you for sure.
You know, as we heard from our first guest, Casey Morton, I mean, there are plenty of, you know, people that look up to you in this industry. And, you know, we appreciate all that you've done from the contender on. So it's a pleasure, you know, to be affiliated with you and with the great city of Detroit when it comes to boxing. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful.
Looking forward to getting some more local Detroit boxers in, and also you know just making sure that people are able to hear about what boxing is really like, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Absolutely.
But the sport that we love, so you know.
Yeah. Hey, look, that's going to be one of my subjects right there. You just named it. The good, the bad, and the ugly in boxing. We're going to talk about the good, we're going to talk about the bad, and we're going to definitely talk about the ugly. Exactly. Oh, man. Now, I can tell you one thing right now that's good about boxing. You know what I mean? Like, over this weekend, we had a young man from our city. His name is Larry Venice, and he took a fight on a few days' notice. He went out there and he actually won a fight, but they called it a split decision for the other guy. So when you go to a guy's hometown and he's favored and it's a close decision and it's a split decision and they give it to the hometown guy, normally when they give it to the hometown guy, that means he really lost. So what was good about that? So what was good about that is he went out there and he really won. He put up a good fight. Now what was bad about that though is he took a fight on 2 week notice, and it's not good to do when you playing. You know, you don't want to play with your brains. I mean, you know. Unfortunately, we have fighters like Gerald McCullough, who's still partially blind right now. And, you know, he didn't take a fight on short notice, but things can happen, you know what I mean? Because the head is not nothing to be played with. You got to take boxing serious. Or you one punch away from getting your head knocked off or in a coma or actually being killed. So, you know, that's the good, that's the bad. Yep. And the ugly of boxing is just, you know, these terrible promoters, man. You know, some of them, not all, but just stealing money from these fighters. I mean, that's the bad part. I mean, just think about it. As a fighter, and I had to find this out the hard way because I became a promoter. But, you know, I tell you, okay, so me and you, we both promoters, right? Right, James? We both promoters. And I got a fighter, and you got a fighter. And my fighter ain't fought in a year. And I know his light's about to get turned off. And you say, well, you know, okay, well, you know, K-9, you know, I got a fighter, you know, my fighter Jack, he wants to fight your fighter Joe. So, you know, we'll get your guy, if you can get your fighter to come to fight our fighter, we'll give him $100,000. And I say, bet. Absolutely. So I call my fighter, let my fighter know, hey, I got to fight for you for $30,000. And his light's about to get turned off. You know what he going to say? I'll take it. So,
hold on, K-9. I think we have Coach Russell here.
Coach, okay, great.
Coach, how you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, fellas?
Doing good. We are joined by K-9 Bundridge, IBF two-time middleweight champ. So, Coach, just wanted to congratulate you once again on Gary Antoine's victory. First of all, is anybody going to give him a full fight?
I hope not. You know, I tell them all the time. You know, you don't get paid by the hour. If you can get them out in one or two, then so be it. Do it. You know, because you go down the wide, 6-5, you can get headbutted or anything. So if you can get them out of there, do it.
Right, that's right.
Now, that seems to be, you know, a contradiction, Coach, because, I mean, you know, usually when you talk to, you know, to the coach the first day and say, well, we wanted to get some rounds in and get a little ring, get a little ring experience and whatnot. Coach, you ain't down.
No, you do that in the gym. You do that in the gym. You want to get them out early. If it doesn't happen, you should have the win. It's to be able to go 6, 8, 12, 10. You know, you should be able to do it. So, you know, that homework is done in the gym.
Yeah.
We have to talk about, the next fight coming up, Gary. And I mean, were you guys kind of caught by surprise with the announcement? I know you're always ready, but did it surprise you at all, Coach?
No, nothing dealing with the ABC sanctions or organization surprised me. You know, you got Jared Hurd having to fight Law again. You know what I mean? That's a surprise. You know, we knew that Mr. Diaz is our mandatory, so we were pushing for, you know, a fight in between time, you know, to keep busy. But, you know, it never came about, so we knew that JoJo was on the radar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I interject in there?
First of all, Mr. Russell, I want to say, man, you're doing a great job, you know, with your kids, because you know, you don't have a lot of relationships where father and son actually get along the way you and your son get along. Your relationship with your kids is like unbelievable. It's like, it's super great, man. And I wish I could have that kind of relationship with my son. I constantly gotta cuss him out. And do that. And it's like they respect you so much, man. I mean, you know, what's your secret?
Look, I cuss him out too. I just got finished cursing before I came out. I just got finished cursing Gary out, the champion, before I came out. But, you know, I think there's no handbook raising no kid. What I kind of realized being, you know, just around a lot of guys where I grew up, and, you know, the problems that I've gotten into, the trouble and all this stuff, when it comes right down to it, as long as you demonstrate love and let them know that they're loved, it's not a difficult for us to hug, or for me to hug them, or to kiss them on the forehead, for them to hug one another. And I think that's one of the binding apparatus to keep everything kind of united, because it's difficult being a father and a trainer. Just think about it. You know, you maximize all their private time. You know, when they're in the gym, you tell them what to do. When they're at home, you tell them what to do. Get the trash. Why is it, feed the dog. Do this. Why cut the lights out? You know, so it's a fine balance, but as long as you put love and they know that you love them first, pass this boxing stuff. See, when this boxing's over, people are going to mention the name and pass, but it's seasonal, you know, but your father all the time.
Absolutely. So what y'all going to do when it comes to this Diaz? And he's talking real slick. You know what I mean? I mean, you going to talk about it? Are you just going to be about it? I mean, you know, what's the plan? I know Gary Russell, we met before. We was your son was actually sitting in the car, you know, going to go to see the doctor. We was getting ready for some fights. We actually fought in the same car before, you know, out there in L.A. And, you know, and he's a cool guy, man, a cool guy. But what's the plan? I mean, go ahead.
The plan is ultimately to win. You know, that's the plan. You know, a lot of guys, they pop the golf, they talk trash. I don't know if they're trying to hype themselves up or try to, you know, cure some type of fear, which isn't here. But, you know, boxing is becoming a WWF sport. You know, it's becoming wrestling. Yeah. You know, you got to promote yourself in a manner which is, you know, it's supposed to be a gentleman's sport. So, you know, we deal with all our oppositions, all our fighters that we have to fight, you know, competition, with respect. We, if you notice, you know, a champ is not a determined endearment, but it's a term of respect. We don't say JoJo Diaz,
yeah.
Mr. Diaz, Mr. So-and-so,
yeah.
Mr. So-and-so.
Yeah.
We respect them as a man, and we carry ourselves in that. We fought, let me see, what's his name, the Ghost Grills guy.
Yeah.
Last year, maybe on my birthday. And it was all,
yeah.
You know, can't think of his name right now, but it was Mr. You always, you know, show respect. And I teach my kids,
right,
be
right.
respectful. You know, if it
yeah.
comes down to a thing, you know, you shouldn't get up there fussing and cussing and going back and forth, social media gangster. That's not cool.
Right.
That's not cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We don't stoop. We try not to stoop to that level.
Yeah, yeah, I got you, I got you. Well, you got exactly. You kind of, you remind me of Popovich. You know, Popovich, he's a coach of San Antonio Spurs. You're not really a man of many words, so it's a treat to actually get you on a radio show and actually get you, you know, to open up, because you be just letting the microphone, let your son do his thing, and you just, you know, you play your role, you be in the back, you know what I'm saying, and you just be, you know, a dad and love your son and trying to give him the best, and I appreciate that, and that's real.
And that's how it's supposed to be done. That's how it's supposed to be done, man. Like I was saying, Mr. Ghost Guerrero, the father, you know, he has a reputation of this extracurricular stuff, you know, one to jump up and threaten.
Yeah.
And he was a total gentleman. He was a total gentleman when he was down here when we fought at the MGM. But I also realized I greeted him as a man. I greeted him with humility and respect.
Absolutely.
So he had to reciprocate that. You know, of course he did come out. We're going to beat him. Okay, you're supposed to say that. But it was nothing that was ever, you know, irated. You know, he never got loud, nasty. He conducted himself as a gentleman, as a man. That's what we are.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What we're trying to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Integrity
yeah.
And keep it professional. Now, the world of boxing has become such a zoo, a playground. You know, people want to smack people on the stage. They want to push down four chairs, curse them out, talk about their parents, talk about their wives, and do all. Man, that's not what boxing's about. It's a sport.
No, it ain't.
It's entertainment.
You're right. You're
that
right.
type of entertainment.
That's right.
I want to see that in WWF. I don't watch wrestling because of all that. You know.
Yeah. That's
so you
right.
try to
that's
keep
right.
it 100, man. Try to keep it genuine, man, and give some integrity back to the sport.
Absolutely. So tell me this right here. Like, you train one of your sons to be a trainer, because I know I see your other son who actually is a boxer too. I don't know if he's still boxing or not, but he actually helps train one of your sons. See him give him pad work a lot. So you a trainer?
Yes, absolutely. He helps train all of them. And the thing about it is funny that you mentioned that he's in the ring working the mitts with the guy now. So as opposed, you know, we walk in position, walking to the left, you know, away from the left hand, and all, you know, just working on stuff. So I'm critiquing his work because he's doing
yeah,
his work.
Absolutely.
And I see him letting him throw a three-punch combination and then slip over to the left hand. So I curse him out.
Yeah.
Why are you letting him slip
absolutely.
To the left hand? That's stupid.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be more stupid
yeah.
than that. Yeah, but I was telling him,
yeah.
no, I want to get up here. You know, show me
right.
your left hand when he do that. Come on, you're not teaching. You're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
You know, going that way, being hard, cursing him out, and jumping on him in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Then he realized, okay, he's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, Allen's a good, he was a good fighter, great fighter. In fact, a lot of people questioned whether or not he was better than LG, Lil Gary. Hands were just the same.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow, yeah, you're doing a good job.
More aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, you see, I'm paying attention to you and your family. You see that right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, so another thing, Gary, from what I was hearing, and he said it a few times that he don't know how long he's going to continue to box. It's like You know what I mean? That's his own decision. It's a family decision. I mean, you know, what do you think? You think that a fighter shouldn't fight as long anyway because of, you know, what, the brain? I mean, I probably would still be fighting, you know what I mean? If I would have, you know, made the right decisions and all that, or if I had a dad that, you know, straight, you know, told me about a few things and all that. I mean, what's your take on all that?
Well, by example, you know, you learn by example. I'm like 58 years old, so I've, you know, been around for a minute, and I've seen a lot of things
yeah.
in the deal with boxing. There's so many boxers,
yeah.
man, you know, pugilists who have left the sport. They stayed much longer than they should have. And then they had
yeah.
no money to show afterwards, so then they try to re-enter the ring to get either that bag, that finance, or they can't get away
yeah.
from the mere fact that they were just on the spotlight, in the spotlight. So they want that spotlight.
Yeah.
They want to hear that yell of that person. Man, tell my son, Shorty, when it's over, it's over. Ain't nobody going
Absolutely.
To get named and all this stuff. Half the people that you deal with on you know, promotional, managerial, they may not even call you anymore. You may not ever
yeah.
hear from them again. Son, get your money, invest your money, set your goal. When you get 30, 31 years old, it's time to hang it up. Have a plan. So right
That's
now,
right.
I'm proud to say that they're buying houses, not flipping them. They're renting them out. The market for, you know, houses is starting to go back up. So it's really lucrative. You
yeah.
know, I think you got a total number of 6 houses so far. Looking to buy about 5 more. Rent them out
yeah.
to Section 8 and all that. Keep residual income coming. Buy a house, turn it into a daycare center. You know, so that's what the plan is, man, for all of them.
That's smart.
So
that's
as
smart.
Far as I'm talking about maybe 6 fights, okay, you got a plan. Stick to it. I'm going to help you to stick to it because for that 6 fights and you leave the sport, ain't no coming back where I can go back and get this fast money. Oh, no, 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 no. There's none of that. That won't happen on my watch. If he does, he'll do it on his own.
I got
you. So won't be a part of it. I will speak against it and stay on my ground with him, the decision to hang the gloves up.
I got you.
Let me ask
you
a question. Let me ask you a question. When the last time you heard about, say, Shannon Briggs or, let's say, Thomas Hearns?
Yeah.
Kevin Kelly. When do you hear that? You don't hear too much talk about these guys.
Right, that's
because
true.
Their time is over. Their time is over.
Yeah.
The crowd, people remember you for what you're doing now. And when you hang up them gloves,
yeah.
people ain't thinking about you, man.
Nah, you're right.
Take
nah,
it.
You're
it's
right.
A
you're right.
It's a business. It's a business. Get your money. Get out.
Yeah. Nah, you're right. You're right.
Day. With all your faculties, your looks, your brain, you're not slurring when you speak. That's what it's
yeah.
about, man.
That's true. Your family, yep. Being there with your family and peace of mind.
Let me kind of slip in here for a minute, Coach, and K-9, because
yeah.
when we were first hearing about Geary fighting, we were kind of thinking that he was going to be fighting in Canada on the undercard of the Adonis Stevens card. Now we see that the venue's been changed and they're going to split the venue. Coach, how happy were you not only to have Geary fighting in his hometown, but how did the change in venue come about?
Well, actually, what happened, that was a misprint. Geary was never given a proposal to fight anywhere but here, or New York, or L.A. So we chose our home ground. So what you read about, you know, the double billing, the only thing they're billing is the same network, but it's on different hours. But it was never in negotiation for us to fight anywhere outside of the United States or outside, you know, D.C., like I say, Maryland, New York, or L.A.
So this fight in Maryland. I'm assuming is this going to be at the new facility?
Yeah, the new MGM. Yeah, we fought there, like I say, last year. And it's pretty nice venue. You know, I'm happy because it's close to home.
Absolutely. Yep. I want to ask a question real quick. I just want to ask, like, with this guy, Diaz, who your son is going to fight, his whole thing is, from what I've been hearing him say on Twitter, is that he believes that he's catching Russell at the perfect time because Russell hasn't fought. So him and his team has been pushing for Russell to fight right away because they feel like they would have a better chance to try to pull an upset up if he doesn't fight versus if he did fight.
You know, I think during the press conference they had last week, one of the representatives from his team, from Golden Boy, made a statement that Gary is docile. He's like a lion, two young lions, but this young lion is docile. He hasn't did anything. Yeah, you know, and Gary responded, you know, very candid. He told him, he said, we have something down here called the D.C. Zoo. It's a zoo up Northwest. Right. If you go up to Northwest Zoo and walk into that lion's den, the lion's going to be alive.
Absolutely.
You know, in captivity, outside captivity, the lion's going to do what it do. Now,
absolutely.
JoJo can speak about involvement because he's been fighting, but has he fought the style that my son is going to bring to him? I don't think he can emulate, nobody emulates that style. I don't think nobody gives that hand speed or that movement.
No.
You know?
Oh, no.
So.
No way.
We're in the gym every day. If you ask my kids individually, man, during the summer, what do you do? I'm in the gym. Dang. In the fall, what do you do? I'm in the gym. In the winter, what do
Absolutely.
You do? In the gym. In the spring, what are you doing? I'm in the gym. So I'm from the old school. I don't believe in going to the gym and sparring every day when you have nothing coming up. See, that's where a lot of fighters get hurt, where they get their injuries, and then when they get into a fight with smaller gloves, they're already damaged inside.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
Swelling another brain and
that's
stuff
right.
like that. A lot of wars fights are lost in the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Preparing, over banging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think that Jerry McCullen, when he fought Nigel Benn, I think he already had something that was on his brain, and fighting Benn just brought that out more in that fight. I think he went into something already messed up a little bit from the gym wars.
Gym wars. People trying to prove themselves.
Yeah.
You have this other kid,
Absolutely.
Scott Beethoven. Was a D.C. fighter, fought in New York, right? And he fought on the ship and he died. I don't know if you remember that fight. D.C.
No,
Beethoven. Okay, when it was New York and he died on the ship. They had a fight on the ship. And the kid died. Now, not as a result, the fight did it, of course, but it was based on the punishment he was taking in the gym in the prior fights before then.
Absolutely. Yes, that's in James time.
You know,
When was it?
No, I do remember the fight that he was talking about. I think they were fighting on one of the aircraft carriers in New York.
Okay.
Right.
But
that kid, we had fought that kid before that fight. And I had Boogaloo Watts. I was training Boogaloo Watts. And Boogaloo Watts stopped him down in D.C. And I was told that afterwards the kid was falling out in the back. There was definite brain injury. I don't know if they got it dealt with, but he couldn't get a fight, and they moved him up in weight. But he was damaged from that last fight. You have this young kid that just fought named Douglas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Douglas on HBO.
And they were saying, something don't look right. Roy Jones was commenting. Something doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Well, he got stopped before, But I think some Russian guy, they locked the whole squad up afterwards because they said the Russian guy was a mafia related and all that. But he got stopped by that guy. And during that fight, he was being hit in the side, top of the head, side of the head, back of the head, and it did damage. He shouldn't have fought
Absolutely.
That last fight. And they put him there.
That's right.
Mentally messed up. Then we got this other kid, the fourth, I think it was in Maryland. And he was complaining about getting hit in the back of the head.
His father
trained him. They thought it was the last round, which really was the ninth round, whether it's a 10-round fight, and they started ungloving him, so they called the fight, and he took the loss. Walked out the ring, and guess what? Went into a coma. Shorty been messed up ever since.
Oh, yeah.
But that didn't happen just during that fight. That was the gym war.
Absolutely. There you go.
You know,
that's right.
Cumulatively being hit. So, you know, we'll be prepared for the fight. We're working towards, you know, being dead on sight. You know, we go to the range a lot, shoot guns, you know, and it's something called calibrating your scope. You have to calibrate. You buy a gun, he's a gun collector. He buy a gun to get a scope, got to take it to the range and set the sights. So that's actually what we're doing. We're just setting the sights. I need to know that physically his energy, his speed is up.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to work with his ring IQ. So once we get everything streaked off, you know, we'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up because, you know, I'm glad you brought it up. But he told me all kind of guns he got. He told me a gun lover, exactly. Right.
Yeah, collector.
Yep. Yeah, he's a gun collector, exactly.
Actually, he thought about going to the Olympics, going back to the Olympics as a marksman.
Right. Wow. That's deep. That's deep. Yep. And they trying to get rid of guns, man. Guns, it ain't the people that it's the people that's crazy, not the guns.
Not
it's the people that got them.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Coach, before we let you go, did you get a chance to watch the Danny Jacobs fight?
I did. I really did. I like Danny. Crazy about his coach Andre. Andre's my man. I've been knowing Andre a long time. We covered a lot of ground together from the amateurs on up to this pro thing, you know. I'm talking about when Gary was 9 years old and he's in Ireland 8 and he's fighting Saddam Ali, you know. Curtis Stevens. I've been knowing them kids, man, when they were juniors. And to see Andre still at it, to see Danny, you know, move up, to see Saddam win the belt and all, you know, it's a great thing. I thought that Danny looked, to me, he didn't look as good as I expected him to look. But styles make a fight. That kid came to fight, and that kid can really fight.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's not a big puncher, but oh my goodness, this kid is like really knowledgeable in the ring. He knew how to fight.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, I want to ask you a question too,
Kevin.
Yeah.
I never
heard of him. Yeah, you can.
But anybody below Danny Jacobs, who's definitely, you know, one of the top fighters, that kid going to give it to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And first couple of rounds, he was giving it to Danny.
You're right. I want to ask you, too, though, your far as, like, background, because you got a lot of knowledge. I mean, have you ever had any pro fights? I mean, the amateur fights? Were you just around the game? Who was you taught by? Because you got a lot of knowledge. And definitely want to know, like, you know, where you get that knowledge from. And people want to know where you get all this knowledge from. All these kids you got you training, there's all champions and gold medalists and all kind of stuff.
My uncle was, I think, one of my first mentors. He used to box. Then, you know, I would just love Wide World of Sports. I used to love Wide World of Sports. I used to stay watching the fights, man. Oh, man, just fell in love with it, my passion. And I was introverted as a kid myself. So my grandparents raised me. We had a garage out back. And I hung a speed bag up, man. And we go down to the store. That's when they used to have the old Everlast equipment. And if you look, and this is real, if you look, if I can find the old Everlast boxing trunks. And you look at the pictures on there, you see that's me on there.
Oh, wow.
That was me on there. I used to go to Finley's Boxing Gym on Maryland Avenue. It's probably was the oldest gym in D.C. Everybody fought there. Everybody came. Larry Holmes. Ali was there. I mean, Mike Tyson. All the who's who of boxing been through that gym. So you had older guys who were there that knew Ezra Charles and stuff. And I was just taken, man, you know, in awe, listening to their stories, watching certain things that they would do in the gym. It was like a barbershop where old men hung out who used to box. So I gathered a lot of information from them, some that I take in, some that I would discard that I didn't feel would fit my style. As far as me fighting, I did box. I was really good, 165, messed around and got into some trouble. So they set me down for a minute as a juvenile. And, you know, I came home, was getting ready to do a pro fight, took some kids on a hunting trip. One of the kids left a loaded shotgun in the car, discharged and hit me in my knee. So my career was over. I said, I'll be full-time trainer. And here we are.
Wow. Champions, good champions. Champion, that's right. That's a story, boy. A great story, though. I appreciate you. I really appreciate you, though, man, because a lot of people need to hear your story, man, because, you know, not a lot of these young guys, man, just don't have their daddy in their life, man, and just for you to be there with your son, man, and provide him and he respect you the way he respects you, that's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. I mean, I remember seeing you shed a little tear when he won that world title. It was all that work you put in, you know?
A lot of work, man. A lot of work. You know, and I was more so grateful because I knew the ladder we had to climb to get there. And, you know, that ladder, man, some of them steps, man, had spikes and some of them were broken, you know. So it was a difficult climb, especially, you know, being here in D.C. or Maryland. You know, you have a lot of people who don't want to see you succeed. There were a lot of incidents when my kids were juveniles, when we were young. And, you know, the forces to be, man, would throw curveballs at them. You know, set them up, lie to them, leave them standing outside when they could supposed to be going out of town. You know, just a whole bunch of adversities. Guys stealing, baking in my car, stealing all my kids' boxing equipment. I go to another gym, D.C., and I see some of my equipment in their gym.
Wow.
You know, it's man, it's been a long road.
Right,
and
right.
Still have stuff
what I appreciate it too, like, I mean, and just shows that you're a great dad, is that you didn't force your son to say nothing afterwards, and he kept saying it. This is my dad, man. He just laid the work down, and I just, you know, went out there and did what I had to do. He kept giving you all that praise, man. He kept saying it. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't you that was forcing him. He did that. He said on his own, and that comes from being a great dad.
But, you know, a lot of people only see the boxing, you know, the manifestation of the work that we put in the gym as far as boxing. But it goes so much deeper. I tell them all, you know, you go to a cabaret or a family reunion, you know, they're going to do the cha-cha, they're going to do, you know, all the steps are the same. But people make it look different. Yeah. It's because of their creative nature. And outside the ring, you have to be creative. Just in, you know, in living, being a melanated man in, you know, United States, period, to be able to think. You have to, you know, be able to navigate through all the little tricks that the system got set up for you. And I was talking more outside the ring, the minute they become, their consciousness of knowing where they come from, ancestry, you know, through their ancestors, they embrace their heritage. That's what I'm proud of.
Well, Coach, we're going to let you get back to the family business, and we hope to have you and Gary on as soon as he's successful. And, hey, man, as always, Coach, you know, we appreciate your time and everything you do for the sport of boxing. So thank you so much tonight for your time, my man.
Thanks for being on, my brother. All right, man. Keep us in the show. Oh, yeah, I got you, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. Man, appreciate you. Appreciate you too, coach. You have a great night. You too.
Well, K-9, you know, we talked with another coach and father. And introduced a young lady world champion. So, hey, man, you know, for your first night on under our new partnership, I thought we had a pretty good show. Already got some young fighters. As a matter of fact, next week I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to bring in a young fighter from right there in your Detroit area. You know, so you know, it's always going to be a process. You know, we like I said, you know, we're not about trashing fighters and you know, all about the bullshit. It's about showing the human side of boxers, what they go through, the family aspect, you know, keeping it real without keeping it phony. So,
Absolutely. So,
K-9, you want to give everybody your final thoughts for the evening?
Oh, man. Hey, listen. Hey, it was a good show. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it just because I was on it. I'm talking about, man, just talking to, you know, KC. talking to Mr. Russell, man. I enjoyed myself, man, as usual. And I hope the listeners that was listening enjoyed the show. And me and James going to keep bringing it to y'all, man. Y'all continue to tune in and tell a friend to tune in.
And make sure you blast it out on your social media network. And I always make sure that we blast it out on Blog Talk Radio as well as our Pugilist Corner page. So you can be looking for some changes on the Pugilist Corner page, including some articles about K-9's son and taking him through the amateur paces. As well as the latest boxing news. So be sure to keep up with us on Facebook. We do have a website. We're going to start updating that soon. K-9 was talking about having some goods for sale. We'll get back to you with that. But with all that being said, welcome to K-9 and K-9 Productions to the Pugilist Corner, and we look forward to talking to everyone again next week. So have a great night, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely.